Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Sports to the Max here on a Wednesday. Twins go for the sweep of the Angels tonight at Target Field. Then the Birds, the Orioles, come to town for four beginning tomorrow night. Huge game for the Lynx coming up tomorrow night in St. Paul. They'll take on the LA Sparks, a battle of first and second in the WNBA standings. Renee Montgomery coming up here at about 7:40 tonight here on News Radio 830 WCCO. And then an hour from now, Minnesota United FC, a little lull in the schedule. We'll get an update from Sporting Director Manny Lagos here on CCO. Pleased to be joined by the pride of Spring Lake Park, Troy Merritt, playing on the PGA Tour. Troy, it's been a while. How you been?
Oh, thanks for having me on. I'm doing all right. And I think the pride of Spring Lake Park has a Boston Bruins jersey on these days.
Yeah, there you go. But, hey, being on the PGA Tour is pretty darn good.
Yeah, you know, it's not too bad. You know, weeks on end away from your family trying to grind out against the best players in the world. And, you know, it's a tough game with a lot of factors. And, you know, it's just a lot to deal with. But there's nothing else I'd rather be doing.
Yeah, and you've been on the road for a while. Now, you still call Boise home, I believe.
Yep, still full-time in Boise.
Yeah. U.S. Open. Then you went to the Hartford area for the Travelers Championship, and then you went down to D.C., and now you're in West Virginia for the Greenbrier. So it's been quite a run for you.
Yeah, and you attack on Memphis the week before the U.S. Open. Yeah, this will be 5 weeks in a row now, and we'll have the John Deere next week, and then who knows going forward. You know, it could be a good 8-9 week stretch here this summer.
Wow, playing a lot of golf. Let's start with playing at Erin Hills in Wisconsin. I'm sure you had a lot of family here from the cities, a lot of family from Iowa over there for that.
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of fun. It's always fun to, you know, see my parents, my brothers, and sister-in-law, and some of my aunts come up from Iowa to watch. And, you know, it was a cool course. It was a cool week. It was my first U.S. Open. And, you know, unfortunately, things didn't work out on Friday to make the cut. But it was still a lot of fun. It was a good experience.
Yeah, and just an unbelievably long, hard golf course, typical of a U.S. Open. But did you like the layout in general?
I did. I think, you know, if we're, you know, nitpicking it all, you know, it would have been fun to play it at maybe over 8,000 yards. So some of the bombers had to kind of fit it in. Some of the, you know, narrower spots, what narrow spots there were out there, you know, kind of like the average hitter, like myself, had to. Or, you know, kind of go the other way, you know, maybe play it at 7,200 yards and bring the fairways in by half. I mean, they were pretty generous fairways, and the hay really wasn't in play unless she had a bad shot. But I think, you know, overall for the first U.S. Open at Erin Hills, I think it held up pretty well.
Yeah, and you took kind of the hard way to get into the U.S. Open. You went through qualifying. Was that nerve-wracking, or was it just part of the deal?
A little bit of golf, and I wanted to work on some of the mental stuff and, you know, maybe just try a couple things out with my putter and my driver. And that's kind of what I did in the qualifier. I used that opportunity to test some things out in a, you know, in a little bit of a stressful environment without any real repercussions. I mean, you can't miss any cuts in qualifiers. So, you know, it ended up working out really well. I played really well that day, and it kind of kickstarted our little run here.
Yeah, and you go from the U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin to the Travelers Championship, and you really had a solid week. You had to be thrilled with that.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? We went from 7,800 yards and 1,601 and to 6,800 yards and 1,201. I mean, the TPC up there really held up this year. You know, played firm, and they did a good job of putting some pins in some tricky places, and it was great to see Jordan there and Rory there. I mean, the crowds really came out to watch those guys, and, you know, record crowds, and they were unbelievable, and it was fun to play in the final group on Saturday with Jordan and Patrick Reed.
Yeah, and I caught a big part of your third round, and maybe it didn't go the way you had hoped, but what an experience. You know, all that TV time, and I mean, that had to be cool. And sure, you played on television before, and I've heard from other PGA Tour players, you really know when the cameras are on you.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to know that, you know, every little thing that you do is being caught by somebody out there. And you know, we played pretty solid, and there's a couple things that didn't quite go our way, but it was a good test of the new positive attitude, and you know, and maintaining focus and moving on to the next shot. And like I said, you know, it didn't really work out score wise on Saturday, but it ended up leading to a nice solid finish on Sunday, and I was real happy with that.
Yeah, and you really bounced back on Sunday and played well.
Yeah, I needed a pretty good finish there. I need a couple good finishers coming up here in the next 7-8 tournaments so that I can keep my job for next year.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before, Troy. I mean, how much is that in the back of your mind when you tee it up, for instance, tomorrow morning at the Greenbrier? Or do you just, hey, I'm shot to shot. I'm going to worry about the shot on one and go from there?
Yeah, you know, before the round, you know, a couple days before the first round, you know, think about, you know, I need to really focus and concentrate on each shot one by one. So by the time we add them all up come Sunday afternoon, we're right where we want to be, you know, in contention on Sunday or making a good push to have a good finish. But then when we get to the golf course during the tournament, it's definitely focusing one shot at a time and try to make the best for each shot and see what happens each day.
Yeah, and the Greenbrier, that's a great golf course. Unfortunately, a year ago they had the heavy rains, the terrible flooding. They had to cancel the event. You've been there, I would assume, since Monday, or at least got in on Tuesday. What have they done a good job getting it fixed up from a year? Because it was just a nightmare when they had all that rain and all that flooding.
Yeah, I tell you what, this is the fifth time I've been here. I've been here since the very first year they had it in 2010, and I'd missed the 2 years when I was on the web. But this course in general has come a long way from 2010. They've made some great adjustments, and I remember seeing pictures last year, the week or two leading up to the tournament, seeing all the water and knowing the area and some of the holes, and seeing the kind of water they had flow through here was unbelievable. And then, you know, seeing pictures again this year and seeing what the golf course looks like, they've done an unbelievable job, not just here at the golf course, but in the surrounding area in general. I mean, this place was absolutely devastated a year ago, and to see how far they've come, it's really quite shocking.
Yeah, and you've been out on tour for a while right now, and what amazes me is the difference between making a cut and being in contention. You know, is many times just a shot here and there, and wrapping your arms around that, you know, how deep and how talented these fields are each and every week.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, gone are the days where you had to play semi-good, you know, just to make the putt or just to make the cut, you know, and you're way back in the field. I mean, these days, you know, good, solid golf is what's required to make the cut. I mean, you really can't let your guard down at all. You got to focus in on each and every shot. And I mean, we see guys, you know, nobody's done it this year, but in years past, that make the cut on the number and can go on and win the golf tournament. I mean, guys are just that good this era of golf. And I mean, you just can't take anything for granted out here. And, you know, it's just a lesson that, you know, I've had to keep learning over and over and over again. And it's one I hope I get my head wrapped around at some point and then stop making silly mistakes coming down the stretch to miss cuts on Friday afternoon, which I've done here the last month or two. And yeah, there's not a lot of difference between the guys, you know, making the cut by one or two or missing by one or two and the guys that are winning, and, you know, except like you said, maybe a shot or two here or there, and it adds up, you know, to a quick 4 to 8 shots by the end of the week.
Yeah, and Troy, is it a challenge to shake off? For instance, a week ago at the Quicken Loans National Tournament, you won a couple of years ago. You open with a 66, you're right in the mix, and then Friday, it was a tough day.
Yeah, it was a really hard golf course. I mean, TPC Potomac Avenue, you know, I got to play it in 12 and 13 on the web, and you know, single digits won then. And you just knew that it was just going to be a beast. And Thursday came out rock solid, hitting fairways just like we needed to, and had a bogey-free 4 and a par 66. And then they had to come out Friday and, you know, only hit 4 fairways and only hit 4 greens. And you just can't compete out there. And then the conditions got real tough. It was blowing a good 20-25 and got rock hard. And there were some holes you couldn't even hold the green with a sand wedge from the fairway. And, yeah, I just got behind the eight ball early with back-to-back double bogeys. And and just really couldn't right the ship and find anything going on, and finally birdied that last hole for a crowd pleasing 82. You know, my biggest number as a pro, and just amazing, you know, how this game can humble you so quick. I mean, I just put together, you know, 4 out of 5 really good rounds in a row, and then it whacked me right on the head on Friday afternoon, and I went home early that week.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 in the 60s, and a really good finish the week before, and all of a sudden it's like, how do you turn the page? You know, do you get on the plane, you get out of Dodge, and head to the next stop on tour and just forget about it?
You know, I was actually so mentally and physically worn out by playing that golf round on Friday afternoon. It took me all weekend just kind of take it easy, just hang out, you know, put the feet up, let the brain rest, let the body rest. And I stayed in D.C. in my hotel and just kind of hung out all weekend. And then it's only about a 4-hour drive over here to the Greenbrier, so I drove over on Monday. And it was just nice to just get away from the game for 3 days. I actually watched the French Open on TV, the European Tour event. I watched the Women's PGA. I watched the U.S. Senior Open, and I really didn't watch the Quicken Loans at all. I just needed to get away from kind of what I was doing and just kind of enjoy what others were doing. And, you know, as a result, you know, my mindset's right back in the right place. I had a very good practice day yesterday. I played in an offsite pro-am today in the pouring rain, which it was fun. You got to just enjoy the game this morning. And then, just ready to get back at it on Thursday afternoon. I think that's how you have to move on from a really bad round. You know, a career bad round for me is just use it to make you play better, you know, that following week. And that's my plan here.
And how much do you rely on the people around you, your caddy, et cetera? Do you get on the phone or do you just kind of let it go?
You know, it was just one round after a string of, you know, really solid rounds. It's just kind of an abnormality, you know, just an anomaly. Just put it in the past. You know, nothing real good came from it except for I finished it and I birdied the last hole. I got through it. I know that you can be humbled in a hurry and you move on. You just get back to focusing on what you're doing well. Okay, I've been hitting a nice cut off the tee. I've been finding fairways. My iron game's been sharp and I'm starting to make a bunch of putts. And when I do miss greens, my short game's been really solid. So just get back to knowing what I've been doing well for the last month and just got back to focusing on that yesterday. And as a result, I had a pretty good round as far as practice rounds go.
You touched on it earlier. Your FedEx Cup rank 138, top 125, gets into the FedEx Cup playoffs, and that opens a lot of doors. Your card for 2018 and all of those sorts of things. You mentioned the Greenbrier, and you like that golf course. And then you know, you head back to Iowa. You were born in Iowa. I know you graduated high school here in the Twin Cities. But that's got to be a huge event on your calendar every year to be able to play in the Quad Cities.
Yeah, you know, and I'm even extra excited about next week. You know, I see a lot of extended family that I only get to see once, maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
But my wife also made the commitment to have her and my boys come out. I mean, she was kind of on the fence about it. It's really the only tournament they ever go to. And she decided that, you know, it's probably fun. And, you know, the boys really like it. And I haven't gotten to see them for over a month now. So I'm going to really enjoy seeing my wife and my boys next week. But first things first, I take care of business here. And hopefully we get that card locked up this week and go and enjoy next week even more.
Yeah, that is outstanding. And you've mentioned to us before that, you know, typically, you know, your wife and particularly your kids, you know, you want that stability and you don't want them following you around on the tour all summer long.
That's right. You know, and my oldest scout here today, he's 6 now, and he lost his 2 top front teeth today. Both of them came out. So I had to miss both front teeth coming out today. I've only seen pictures, so I'm excited to talk to him tonight when they have some time and hear the story how he pulled out his teeth.
Yeah, how about that? Well, and you could probably send him a few bucks, you know, for those teeth.
Yeah, he's excited to get him under the pillow for the tooth fairy. I think he had the one under the pillow for nap time today, and the other one went under the pillow after nap time.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Troy, good luck this week at the Greenbrier and next week at the John Deere. It's always a pleasure to visit with you, and I know your schedule is super busy, but it's great to get an update on where you're at, and hopefully you have a super solid week. And who knows, a second career win on the PGA Tour. That'd be great.
That'd be awesome. I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully talk again after that win comes here.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Troy, thanks. There he is, Troy Merritt, PGA Tour. Of course, he played at Spring Lake Park, went on to Winona State, ultimately Boise State. before heading out and playing professional golf, and he's out there on the PGA Tour. Once again, teeing it up tomorrow at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. It is 720. It is Sports to the Max here on CCO. It is Sports to the Max here on a Wednesday night. News Radio 830 WCCO. Thanks again to Troy Merritt for joining us. Teeing it up tomorrow in the Greenbrier. And then it's on to the John Deere. And who knows? He gets it done this week or next week. He could be on his way to the Open Championship across the pond. And I found a story, speaking of golf, there's going to be a lot of money on the line at this summer's Open Championship. Get this. Now, they are going to pay their prize money this year in American dollars. Now, they didn't get into why, but they are paying prize money this year in American dollars. Golf's oldest championship announced today that the total purse will be $10.25 million. Or the winner, for 4 days of work, $1.845 million. That's not bad.
It's not bad if you can get it.
The Open is July 20th through the 23rd at Royal Birkdale. RNA Chief Martin Slumbers says the Open will not be using British sterling this year because of what he called an increasingly global marketplace. He says the prize fund is in U.S. dollars because it's the most widely adopted currency for prize money in golf. Well, there you go. We got our answer.
Yeah, I was wondering if that had something to do with Brexit, maybe?
I don't think so.
It doesn't sound like it.
Henrik Stenson earned £1.175 million a year ago, which equated to $1.549 million. Now, as I read on in the story, Dan, you're sort of kind of right.
Well, even a broken clock's right twice a day.
The value of the pound began falling after Britain voted last year to leave the European Union. So we did get to the bottom of this thing. All right, now they're going to say, no, we're going to pay in dollars. 1.845, that's a bump of almost $300,000 from a year ago. And Henrik Stenson won that great duel with Phil Mickelson. By the way, Phil is back at the Greenbrier with a new caddy. Jim Bones McKay and Phil parted ways. That came out following the U.S. Open, which Phil skipped because he was at his daughter's graduation, and it didn't work out to get on the private jet from California, make it all the way to Erin Hills in Wisconsin. So now his brother Tim will be on the bag. How about this? Tim's doing all right. He's the agent for young star John Rahm, the Spaniard. Phil said the new arrangement brings a comfort level that could help his game. Well, there you go. So Phil Mickelson teeing it up as well with his brother Tim on the bag. And I haven't seen Tim before, but they look a lot alike. sometimes brothers do look a lot alike. So there you go. And I believe the golf will be on CBS again this week. A couple other sports tidbits. Speaking of people getting paid, the Oilers have signed their star captain, Connor McDavid, to an 8-year, $100 million deal. McDavid led the NHL in scoring with 100 points last season and route to winning the Hart Trophy as league MVP. Drafted first overall by the Oilers in 2015, the 20-year-old McDavid has been the catalyst of Edmonton's transformation from a bottom feeder to a cup contender. With McDavid leading the way, the Oilers reached the playoffs for the first time in 10 years last season, eliminating San Jose before falling in 7 to Anaheim in round number 2. The deal has an average annual value of $12.5 million. 20 years old, an 8-year, $100 million contract for Connor McDavid. He's certainly earned it. One other story I wanted to bring up here on this Wednesday night. Gene Conley, one of the only players in history to win titles in two major professional sports died. He was 86. The Boston Red Sox for Conley, a player 1-63, say he died on Tuesday. Conley helped pitch the Milwaukee Braves to a World Series title in 57 and won three NBA titles with the Celtics. Otto Graham won championships in the NFL and the NBL, a precursor to the NBA. Conley was a right-hander and three-time All-Star who spent 11 years in the major leagues with four teams. He was selected by the Celtics in the 1952 draft, and after spending most of the next 6 years only playing baseball, he returned to the NBA in 58 and won three consecutive titles. Well, how about that? A World Series ring, an NBA championship rings, not once, not twice, but three times. Pretty good stuff. It is 7:30 here at CECO. We'll have the weather in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I know it's not sports, but Bravo SpaceX, another launch today. Once again, they got Falcon 9 off the ground down in Florida, their third launch in 2 weeks. They had scrubbed a couple of times for technical problems, but they have an Intelsat satellite. They weren't able to bring Stage 1 back to Earth, as they've done for many of their launches, because they needed all the fuel to boost this 15,000-pound payload into a geosynchronous orbit. So there you go. SpaceX does it again. I think that's pretty cool. Good stuff. Update on Wimbledon. The fortnight continues. Petra Kvitova's attempt to win a third Wimbledon title ended in the second round against 95th-ranked Madison Brengel of the United States. The 11-seed Kvitova was upset by Brengel 6-3, 1-6, 6-2. How about this? The king of clay, Rafael Nadal, has won 26 consecutive Grand Slam sets after a 6-4, 6-2, 7-5 victory over Donald Young of the United States at Wimbledon. This guy is unbelievable. Nadal is just playing great. Let's see if there's any other stories to note. Venus Williams has come back to win and reach the third round at Wimbledon after dropping the opening set against Wang Kang of China. Williams won 4-6, 6-4, 6-1 today. Andy Murray appears to be okay. He won in straight sets over Dustin Brown of Germany. So week one continues at Wimbledon. Roger Federer still alive. In that tournament, as a matter of fact, he won his match today. His opponent retired due to injury. Said, "I'm done." But who knows? Maybe a Federer or Nadal final. Novak Djokovic or Andy Murray might have something to say about that on the men's side before it's all said and done. 7:37 here in CCO. We're going to take another break. We'll come back. We'll talk Lynx. Huge game tomorrow night in St. Paul at the X. The number one team in the WNBA, Minnesota Lynx. The number two team in the WNBA, the LA Sparks, in St. Paul tomorrow night. And Renee Montgomery, Lynx guard, will join us in a moment. 7:40, 20 minutes now in front of 8 o'clock. It is Sports to the Max, News Radio 830 WCCO. Earlier in the show, John Krasinski, Associated Press sports writer, talking NBA free agency, the latest big domino to fall. Gordon Hayward leaves Utah, heads for the Celtics. The Wolves still on the lookout for depth, trying to find another veteran point guard. And as we talked about, one of those veteran guards off the market is getting a new start with the Golden State Warriors, a $5.2 million one-year deal. Young's agent confirmed the deal in a note to the Associated Press. So the Wolf search continues. Hey, WNBA, huge game tomorrow night in St. Paul, Xcel Energy Center. Minnesota Lynx, LA Sparks. Lynx 12-1, Sparks 12-3. It's a great rivalry and a big game early in the season in the WNBA. And we're pleased to be joined right now by Minnesota Lynx guard Renee Montgomery. Renee, good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, do you like this hot weather, this 90 degrees, high humidity?
Yeah, I love it. We just came back from Phoenix, so it's way hotter there.
Yeah, for sure. And you had a tweet about that. I checked out your Twitter feed, and you were tweeting about the heat. I've got a daughter that goes to school at the University of Arizona, and I don't mind it. I'd rather have that than the cold.
I agree. I mean, the alternative, I agree. It beats the alternative, but I like the sun, so I like to get out there and get a nice tan, so I'm loving it.
Yeah, for sure. Your team's playing well. How much fun is it to be a part of the Minnesota Lynx?
I mean, it's hard to describe because, you know, it's like you think we're having fun, and then just times that by two, and that's probably how much fun we're really having, because I think it's not even about us winning the games, which of course we want to, but I think we genuinely enjoy each other and playing with each other, and I think we genuinely feel happiness with each other's success. So when you're on a team where everyone's unselfish, it makes it that much better to play.
Yeah, and there's so many people that are good at their jobs. Head coach Cheryl Reeve, the players, veteran players, superstar players. It just seems like a great group and so much chemistry with this group.
It is. I mean, Coach Reeve at the helm, her fire and her drive, and she's always seeking for perfection. It kind of makes us, you know, meet the call. And then we have our captains, you know, they've been together for a long time. They have a system, and it's good. I mean, like you said, it's when you have a team where everyone is on the same page, Coach Reeve leading the helm, then, I mean, the success follows.
Yeah, you've had a chance to play with some pretty good coaches over the years.
I have. I've been very fortunate with that, actually. So, and I don't take that for granted because, you know, having a good coach, it does change your experience during the game and you know, during your seasons when there's ups and downs. Having a good coach there to help guide you, it really does change everything.
It seems like the schedule has been reasonable this year, that there's been good breaks between games. And maybe that's reflected in the quality of play, where you're not playing so often, where you're getting a couple of games and you're getting a break and you get a chance to get into the gym and practice. Have you noticed that this year versus maybe an Olympic year?
Well, you know, I'm a player, so as you know, we want the games.
Yeah.
All that practicing is all well and good, but it's also hard. It's hard to get a good rhythm. You know, when you have one game a week, it's like, well, you might have been playing good last week, but then you have a whole week of practice, and now you're not, you know, you're not on a hot streak like you were before or anything like that. So it's nice that in case we had any injuries for people to rest up, but we want the games.
Renee Montgomery joining us, Minnesota Lynx, big game tomorrow night. The LA Sparks, will talk more about that. It's certainly not end-all, be-all, but nevertheless a big game. I wanted to ask about your role on this team and coming in and playing meaningful minutes. Are you comfortable in that role? I know any player would like to play more minutes, but, you know, you play big minutes, but not starter minutes.
Yeah, I'm completely comfortable in my role here. When I was an unrestricted free agent, I signed back here knowing what my role would be coming into the season. So I knew what my role was going to be, and I'm embracing it. And like you said, I'm not a starter or anything, but I do play big minutes. She has shown that she trusts us in crucial times in the game. So that's all you want as a player, just to be able to have an impact on the game and to feel like you're needed on the team. And I feel that. So I'm very comfortable, and like I said, the reason I signed back here, I knew my role before I came back here, and I chose to sign back here. So, I'm comfortable.
One thing that stands out in your stat line, free throw shooting. You are a great free throw shooter.
Thank you. Yeah, my Diddy used to always say, take it, it's free. So.
Now, have you always been a great free throw shooter? Has it been hard work? Have you always had a knack for it when you started playing the game? Because over 90%, that's not easy.
I think this is the first time in my career I'm over 90, but I wouldn't say I was a bad free throw shooter before. I would say I was usually in the 85s, the range that a lot of players are in. I think that was the range I was in. This year, I am having an exceptional free throw shooting year, which means I need to get to the free throw line more. So I need to make it a point to get to the free throw line more.
Yeah, do you work on that part of your game a lot?
On the free throw shooting,
yeah.
I shoot two free throws every day to end practice. That's how we end practice every day. Coach goes, Renee has two free throws, so I guess at least I shoot at least two of them a day because coach. And the thing about it is, I have to shoot two free throws. If I miss, then the rookies have to run. So every day, that's how we end practice. So I shoot pressure free throws every single day.
Oh, that's good stuff. And the way you're shooting, they probably don't have to run that much.
I try not to, but sometimes it's like a shock factor. When I miss it too, they're like, "Oh no!" Like, you know, it's a problem. Like, sorry, guys.
Yeah, big one tomorrow night in St. Paul at the Xcel Energy Center. Lynx and Sparks, 12-1 start. The LA Sparks 12-3. This is going to be fun tomorrow night.
I'm excited. I mean, first of all, like I said, we haven't played in a week. Or it seems like it. So I'm excited for a game, first of all. And then, you know, this is an exciting game because everyone knows there's a hype around the game and all this. And for me, like, you know, I'm not a starter. And to play on this team, it's very interesting. I have front row seats every day. I mean, we have a fantastic starting five. So the Fantastic Five, we have front row seats to it every game, and I'm excited. Like, yeah, I know I'm going to come in and do my thing when it's time for me to do my thing. I'm going to try to, you know, have an impact on the game. But I love being able to watch, you know, our starters battle it out. I mean, watching Maya Moore and Sylvia Fowles every day, it doesn't get old, and I don't take it for granted that they're one of the greats.
And Sylvia Fowles, how good has she been this season?
I mean, it's incredible. Just for her to, you know, this is what, I don't know, year 10, maybe 11 for her. I don't know. But just for this to be her best season this far into her career, it says a lot about her and her growth and how she's continually trying to evolve her game. So I couldn't be happier because she's such a good person. Like, outside of basketball, she's such a good person that you just love seeing good things like that happen for her. So I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, another player of the month in the WNBA. It's just absolutely extraordinary, considering there's Simone Augustus and Maya Moore and Lindsay Whalen and the headlines they grab. But Sylvia Fowles has really been leading the way from the get-go.
And that's exactly what I mean. Like, our starting five, because, I mean, Rebecca Brunson, she's kind of the one who, you know, everybody says the four, obviously they're Olympians. But, I mean, Rebecca Brunson is the glue. She's, like, always, you know, the help defense, always getting that rebound that we needed. Or if we're in a funk, she's the one that's getting that offensive rebound put back or anything. Like, she's just that one that's always doing something. So for anybody to stick out on our team when our team is so talented, it definitely says a lot.
All right, what about playing over in St. Paul? You like that building?
I mean, the Xcel Center and their staff and even just new fans have embraced us so much. And I think, you know, next year when we go back to the Target Center, I think we'll have that much more fans because some people that never, you know, came to watch us play at the Target Center, well, now that we're in St. Paul and they live in St. Paul, they're like, let me go check the game out. And they love it. So now, you know, we kind of gain new fans by being there. And the Xcel Center, I mean, it's still loud in there. They're still cheering, you know. It's great. Obviously, you know, it's not our home court, but I'm telling you what, the Xcel Center has done a great job of making us feel at home.
You know, and Renee, I'm glad you brought that up. It seems as though of all the teams in the NBA, hard to beat Minnesota Lynx fans.
You could call me biased. I played on some good organizations as far as fan bases are concerned because when I played in the Connecticut Sun, yeah. I mean, they were selling out a lot then at that point. I played for Seattle Storm. They were selling some tickets, but just the level of united chants and the level of the fans, how long they stand and, you know, like how into the game they are, you know, they're not just clapping. They're clapping and jumping and screaming, you know. So I would say in that aspect, you just can't beat the Minnesota six man we have.
All right. Well, Renee, pleasure to visit with you. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.
All right. Renee Montgomery joining us. Minnesota Lynx guard. Lynx 12-1, Sparks 12-3, number one, number two in the WNBA tomorrow night in St. Paul. Big crowd expected. Tickets remain, but should be a lot of fun at the Xcel Energy Center. They'll tip at 7:00 and then on the road at Chicago on Saturday. Quick break. We've got more Sports to the Max on the way in a moment. The Maplewood Toyota time is 7:54. When you need a new car or truck, it's time to check out MaplewoodToyota.com first. Still 90 here in the Twin Cities, winds out of the southwest, at 13. Our dew point 66. There is a chance of potentially a shower or a thunderstorm tonight. We'll keep an eye on it. It looks like a better chance of severe weather tomorrow. So we'll continue to keep an eye on it. As you know, an eye on the sky and an ear on CCO is always good practice this time of year. Turned out to be bumpy weather on the 4th for parts of the state. It really didn't get that bad here in the Twin Cities. I was at a 4th of July neighborhood picnic, if you will, and were able to catch fireworks out on the river last night, and there were a lot of folks out. But you could see the storms way out west of the cities. You could see the lightning high up in the clouds. We checked the radar. We weren't doing anything too crazy out there, and we're back in. But once again, slight chance of thunderstorms tonight, slight chance of storms again tomorrow. And right now, the radar screen clear, nothing going on. So all in all, quiet. So just a slight chance of storms. And then actually things look really quiet. Best chance maybe Sunday night with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. So looks like a warm day today and another warm one tomorrow with highs around 95. And then things are going to cool down a little bit. But it doesn't look like or there's too much concern about a ton of bad weather, but we'll continue to keep an eye on it for you here at CCO. Little NBA news tonight. Person with knowledge of this situation says Heat guard Deion Waiters is staying in Miami after accepting a 4-year, $52 million contract. Waiters averaged 15.8 points in 46 games last season. Big part of Miami's turnaround. The team went 30-11 following an 11-30 start. Waiters missed Miami's last 13 games with a sprained ankle. So Deion Waiters back with the Heat. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bulls have signed their number 7 overall pick, Lauri Markkanen from Arizona. The team didn't disclose the terms of the deal today. The Bulls acquired the rights to the 7-footer. Along with Zach Levine and Chris Dunn in that trade with the Timberwolves. For Jimmy Butler, a number 16 pick, Justin Patton on draft night, Markkanen averaged 15.6 points a game, 7.2 rebounds, and shot 49.2% from the field and just over 42% from outside the arc in his lone season in Tucson. So Lauri Markkanen figures to be a pretty good NBA player. Get a little bigger, get a little stronger, and it's hard to teach a big man to shoot that well from outside. I'm not going to call him Kevin Durant-like from the perimeter, but I had a chance to see him one time in person when I was down visiting my daughter at Arizona, and this was early in the year. I was really impressed by the kid, not surprised he turned out to be a lottery pick. We'll find out who will host the 2024 Summer Olympic Games. It's down to Paris and L.A., and it's been that way for a while. The word is now that Paris is the front runner, but as a consolation prize, L.A. will get the 2028 Games. They really don't have many options at this point, the International Olympic Committee, after the debacle in Rio. They're gonna go to Paris and L.A. for the next two Summer Olympic Games. Of course, Tokyo is next in 2020, and I'm sure they'll do a fine job and things will be organized. Then it looks like Paris and L.A. And it looks like they'll make the decision in Lima, Peru. So there you go. And I didn't know this, but the modern Olympic Games were reborn in Paris a long time ago. The first Olympic Games, when they brought them back, were in Paris. So there you go. All right. Good luck to Paris. Good luck to L.A. We've got the news. We've got the weather at 8 here on News Radio, 830-WCCO, and then hour number 2 of sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.